Our text is John 1. I'm going to read verse 1 through 14. I titled this message, "Who is God to you?" Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. And we ask for your help, oh God. We can't preach this message without your help. I'm not capable of preaching this message without you, dear God. I pray that you'll just take me out of the way. Hide me behind the cross, that your name can be lifted up and glorified. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You're going to have to bear with me. I'm a very emotional person, especially when I start thinking about what Jesus done for me. There was a day in my life after running from God for 40-some years that I was at the end of my rope. I couldn't run no more. And I had to drop to my knees and just holler out for God. I'm thankful that God reached down, Father, that I could reach up. And He pulled me out of the miry clay. He broke those chains of bondage I was in. He set my feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful today that I'm still there. We're going to read 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Aren't you glad tonight you're a son of God? I'm so thankful tonight that I'm a son of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the world was made, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Sometimes I think our lives get so busy that we forget about just who God is. Who is God to you? God is our Creator.
Amen.
Our Savior.
Yes.
Our Rock.
Yes.
Our Power.
Amen.
Our Life.
Yes.
Our Light.
Yes.
Our Hope. Our Joy.
Yes.
Our Peace. Plus so much more.
Amen.
Amen.
To begin, John draws our attention to three truths about Jesus. Number one, he is eternal. John's opening words echo those of Genesis, where Moses writes, "In the beginning, God." Number two, his distinctiveness. When John says that the Word was with God, the Greek word carries the idea of two persons who are related or facing each other. But John is saying that Christ was distinct from the Father and yet in union with Him. Jesus came declaring that he is God, yet distinct from God the Father. This is the foundation of the doctrine of the Trinity, the belief that there is one God who exists as three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number three, his deity. John is not saying that Jesus is simply divine, as if he were an extension of God. John is saying that Jesus is God in bodily form, and he is God completely. Verse 4 and 5, life and light are reoccurring themes in John's gospel. John refers to Christ as the source of life more than 50 times. In addition, Jesus is the source of light. Your King James says that the darkness couldn't comprehend the light. While other Bible translations say something else. And I want to go there here in just a little bit, but I want to finish this first. Verse 14, this is perhaps John's most direct reference to the concept of incarnation. God becoming human. Jesus was not a man who became divine. He was already divine. Divinity who took on humanity. This belief is central to our Christianity. Now I want to back up to what some of these other translations say about God's Word. Well, I'm not sure what these other translations say about verses 4 and 5. Because I didn't look them up. But I know they say something different. I didn't look them up because we don't have internet in our house. And I used all the data on my phone already. And I don't have other translations of Bibles in our house. But I take that back. I do have a Jimmy Swaggart expository King James Bible. It's supposed to be a King James Bible. But I got it for a present. And as I sat down and started reading it, it seemed like Jimmy Swaggart had a better translation for just about every single verse in that thing. I put it back in the box and I put it in the cabinet, way back in the cabinet, and I just stacked stuff on top of it, and I pray to God I never get it out again. I believe that this is the biggest compromise that our churches and almost all denominations and pastors have made was giving up their King James Bible. I'm passionate about my Bible. Don't take my Bible from me. I don't want any of them other Bibles.
Amen.
Let me ask you. My wife gets on to me every time I use that word, you.
You're in trouble.
She said, what kind of language is that? I don't know. I didn't used to talk like that. We live in Kansas, she told me. I guess that come when we moved to Arkansas and lived in the States for 20 years. I don't know. But let me ask you that question. What Bible did your ancestors bring with them to this country? If they were Christians and believed in the one and only true God, and that Jesus was the one and only begotten Son of God, and that He gave His life's blood for us, that we could have eternal life with Him someday, if we would just ask Him and repent of our sins and make Jesus the master of our life, then they more likely brought a King James Bible with them. If a King James Bible was good enough for our ancestors,
amen,
then it was plenty good enough for our great grandparents.
Right.
And if it was good enough for our great grandparents, then it was plenty good enough for our grandparents. If it was plenty good enough for our grandparents, then it was plenty good enough for our parents. And if it was good enough for our parents, then is it not still good enough for you today?
Amen.
We don't need them other ones. God does not change. Man changes. God's word does not change. Man changes God's word. God promised to preserve his words forever. What's so hard to understand about that word ever? It means exactly what it says, forever. Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. If they're pure, why do they need to be changed? I don't understand it. What's wrong with those people? As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. There's that word ever again. Psalms 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Our dear brother preached last Sunday night about enduring.
Amen.
God's word endures forever. We don't have to change it. It endures. And this is a word which by the gospel is preached unto you. God's word is without error or loss.
Amen.
So why are they trying to put other words in there? There's nothing been lost. Matthew 5:18 says, till heaven and earth pass one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God put those exact words in Mark 13:31 and Luke 21:33. That's how important these words are to God. Isaiah 30, verse 8 says, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book. This is your book. Your King James Bible is your book. That it may be for them for the time to come, forever and ever. God promised to preserve his words forever, and he promised that not one single letter would be lost. There's nothing lost in your King James Bible. So why does man think he has to try and rewrite it? Nothing's been lost. Is God able to keep his promise? Yes. If he's not able to keep his promise, then what are we doing here tonight? And I want to thank each and every one that's here tonight. What a crowd. It's a blessing to me. We got as many here tonight as we had this morning. That music, I got a blessing just coming in early and listening to the music. How important are God's words? Psalms 138:2 says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Job 23:12 says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job was right. God's words are more important than the food we need to live. Food keeps us alive for a day or two. till you run out. But God's words help us live forever. I want to feed on God's words tonight. How can you not want to live forever? God gave His words to mankind, which simply means God inspired His words. God kept His word safe through all ages without error or loss, which means God preserved His words. Revelations 22, 18 and 19 in your King James Bible says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book." Not just the book of Revelation, the whole book. If you don't believe at all, then you might as well not believe any of it. You don't get to pick and choose what fits you and what don't fit you. The words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, add unto, it's what they're doing. God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book. Listen, take away. It's what they're doing. Of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I don't understand how churches, pastors, can give up their King James Bible after just reading those two verses. 50 or 60 years ago, just about every church used a King James Bible. What happened? What happened? They were deceived by Satan himself. They compromised. They accepted another gospel and another Jesus. Paul tells us in Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Paul says in verse 9, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then that ye have received, let him be accursed." As Paul's saying, as we said again. Did you not hear me the first time? I'm telling you again. Listen. And yes, I know. Some of the people that I've discussed this topic with say, well, some of those other translations have them same two verses in Revelation in them. Yes, I know that. Why? That's because they don't want anybody changing it back to what the King James Bible says. That's exactly why they put them same two verses in there. But which Bible said it first? Your good old King James Bible. It has stood the test of times. Amen. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths." That's what I want tonight. I want the old paths. I'm old school. I want the old paths. I want the old time preaching. Because that's what convicted people. These feel good messages that most pastors preach today don't convict nobody. I want to make heaven. And it's going to take the strength of Almighty God to help me make heaven. I can't make it on my own. As I said, I run for 40 plus years trying to do it on my own. It didn't work. It never will work. It never has worked. Don't try and do it on your own. It's going to take the power of Almighty God. As for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I find rest for my soul in my King James Bible. But they said, we will not walk therein. And that is just exactly what most of the churches today have said. That they will not accept the King James Bible as a perfect word of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you really think that God left us with the wrong word for over 2,000 years? Ask yourselves that question. No, God don't act that way. God cannot do that. God is perfect in all ways. He would not leave us with the wrong word. The NIV Bible did not even come on the scene until the late 60s, early 70s. And they've done exactly what the Word of God said not to do. They added words. They took away words. And in some cases, they took away whole scriptures. Almost whole chapters. But don't you find it kind of strange that they took away most of the real important things? Like the blood. Your King James Bible says in Colossians 1:14, Paul tells us, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Aren't you thankful tonight for the blood? Because that's what it's going to take to sustain us, to hold us. This verse is missing in the NIV Bible. Wonder why? Because it's a counterfeit Bible. It's a corrupt Bible. It's a different Jesus. A little J. Do you hear me? A little J. A different Jesus. Amen. They have carved out their own Jesus. The Jesus that they want. Now I was going to leave the rest of this for another message. But I couldn't get away from it. I felt like God wanted me to go ahead and put it in. People were in a battle for our lives. A spiritual battle. Your King James Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Your King James Bible is your power. Your King James Bible is your breastplate of righteousness. Your King James Bible is your gospel of peace. Your King James Bible is your shield of faith. Your King James Bible is your helmet of salvation. Your King James Bible is your sword of the Spirit. And your King James Bible is the perfect Word of God. Amen. So we need to suit up, people, and put on the whole armor of God. The devil's going to throw everything he's got at us. And I think that's going to happen this year. And if we don't have on the whole armor of God, we will not be able to stand.
Right.
In closing, if there is anybody that is listening to this message tonight, and you are kind of straddling the fence on which Bible's right, you have to make a choice. I pray that this message has helped you and you make the right choice. Last time I preached a message like this, it didn't go so well. It went well for me. Because I preached exactly the message God gave me. It wasn't this exact message, but I preached every word that God gave me. But there was people that got up and walked out on me. There was people after the service that said, "We don't agree with you." I don't care. I'm not trying to please people. I'm trying to please my Almighty God. I pray you make the right choice tonight if you're thinking about a different Bible. You've got the perfect Word of God, and it's your King James Bible. Pastor, I'm through.
It's just been such a joy to get acquainted with new brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Brother and Sister Luke, it's been a joy to have you here.